Jesus, Lord, you come alive on the pages of Scripture. Now by your Spirit, come alive again, even in our hearts. Because we ask it in your holy name. So the summer has begun in earnest. How's it been for you? Have you enjoyed the weather so far? Or has it, a wee bit like me, been just that too hot? For a great many people, I guess it's been an excellent start to the summer. The sun's been out, we've seen memorable victories at Wimbledon and in the US Open. Ireland's cricketers have qualified for the World Cup. There's been a great deal from which we can take heart. How has your summer been so far then? For me, if there's one thing that has the potential to mar a good time, it's what comes through the letterbox. And the summer is no exception. Here is just a small selection from the last couple of weeks. Inland revenue. Credit card. No, I'll hesitate before throwing that one away. It did say thank you for your payment. But then the next line said send more. The bank. Well, the good news there was that I've kept my account in reasonably good order. The bad news, they're changing their fees. Often, when there is good news, there's also something else that we have to take note of. Often there's a word of warning or caution. But there was something that came in the last 2 weeks that did particularly encourage me. Normally, of course, brown envelopes are not a good sign. But this was quite different. For this brown envelope was from Sion Mills Primary School. It seems that my wee daughter Neve has achieved great things in her first year at school in Sion. Better, way better than ever her daddy did hundreds of years ago. In fact, head teacher Mrs. Amor says this: Neve, you have settled really well into our school. Well done on a great P1 year. What a fantastic beginning. What a report. If only I'd had one like that. Most of mine said, well, could try harder. But even in the midst of that, there is work to be done. Neve's class teacher says this: Neve takes good care with the overall presentation of her written work. I would ask her to keep this up and to keep practicing the correct formation of the letters. She has made good progress using her knowledge of the letter sounds to write her own short sentences. But I would like her to continue with this. Neve has worked steadily throughout the year and has made pleasing progress in all areas of the curriculum. But P2 now lies ahead. Even when we do well, there is often a note of caution. And writing to the growing church in Colossae, St. Paul had a message just like that. If you have it in front of you, if you want to turn back to it, it was Colossians 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul said this in verses 3 and 6. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, for we have heard of your faith, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves. What a report! What a glowing reference! To them, that must have felt just like a report from a head teacher. How encouraging for Paul to say he'd heard all about their faith. But suddenly, when you reach verse 9, suddenly Paul's tone changes. He says, "We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may live lives worthy of the Lord." Though there was a huge, great deal going on in the church then, there was a great deal more to do. And isn't that true of us? Not just as a church, but of us as individual Christians as well. We are not the finished product. There is a great deal more work before ever we can live the kind of lives that make us worthy of our calling to follow Jesus. I wonder what your school reports were like. It's all too easy often, isn't it, to overlook the good things and just focus on what is not okay. Often in my school reports, you could hear the words, "could try better." But that wasn't all that was there. Surely it's a tragedy when we overlook the good in order to highlight what is not quite right yet. That is no way for Christians to live. It's no way for the church to be. So St. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae to help them go forward. Briefly, let's look at our second reading. This is one of those readings, of course, that the moment you saw the title, you probably sat comfortably back. The story of the Good Samaritan. I've no doubt that if she were here in church today, Neve could tell the story herself. It's one of those you learn from your earliest days. But of course, familiarity often breeds contempt. Often we think we know it all. Often we think we've learned all we are going to learn. And when we think that, we have ceased to take God seriously. So what is that story all about? The first thing we need to know is that the man who was beaten to within an inch of his life was a Jew. That is absolutely critical. The man who was beaten to within an inch of his life was one of them. From their own community. Who would you think most likely to help? For as Jesus told this story, and as far as we know, it is only a story, it's an illustration. Jesus was deliberately talking about people's expectations. Who would you expect to be the first to get their hands dirty and to help the man? Well, of course, those who taught others, the religious leaders of their day. But what do? Rather than actually helping, rather than being willing to kneel beside someone in desperate need, they walk away. When their day's journeying was over, I wonder what was on their mind. I wonder if they had any thought for that man they'd left to die. This happens again and again and again, until finally we're left with the unthinkable. We're left with someone who was despised, a Samaritan. The Jews would have regarded Samaritans as unclean, unworthy. They were from a community that was seen as dirty. The Jews had nothing to do with them. In these last 2 days, of course, we've seen the ugly side of sectarian hatred and violence again in Belfast. They were the kind of lines that would have been drawn between the Jews and Samaritans. So the last person you would expect, the last person who you would, in your wildest imagination, think would be kneeling in the roadside, the last person was the Samaritan. Really, what does that story say to us today? Was it just the religious leaders that failed the man? It's easy, isn't it, to expect others to do the work. Sometimes in the church it's easy to look to the person at the front. And when things don't work, give them a jolly good kicking. But we're all responsible. And perhaps, even amongst us, there are people who feel beaten. Perhaps even amongst us, there are people who feel almost like that man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Perhaps we run the risk of walking by on the other side. Perhaps in their need, rather than helping, we actually make life a whole lot worse. Did you notice what Jesus said? In this case, every story ends with a question. What do you think? What do you think? Jesus said. Jesus' words were allowed to permeate that man's heart. Who is the neighbor? He asked Jesus. The question came back. Well, obviously the one who helped him. Did you notice Jesus' final command? Go. Go on. You go and do likewise, for therein is your living the life that God has commanded. When we go and do likewise, when we don't avoid out of embarrassment or fear people who we know are struggling, but when we are willing to kneel at their side. St. Paul wrote to those Christians in a growing church in Colossae, "We always thank God for you, for we have heard of your faith." Oh, that people would say that of us. But let's be honest as well, that like that school report, there is work still to be done.